please help me welcome Sylvia.
Hi everyone, my name is Sylvia Ann and I'm an oncologist. I haven't spoken in 20 years. I've been in the program. I've never spoke, so be patient with me. I just brought a few notes. Because I can be all over the place and I just want to get everything to perspective. I'm a grateful alcoholic, but it hasn't always been that way for me. For the past couple of years, I've been doing meetings. I've been getting active in the program, and I'm very nervous. I'm really out of my comfort zone up here. I really don't want to be here, but this too I shall overcome. Okay. And I try to attend as many meetings as I can, and this time around, I feel really part of the AA fellowship. And my life, I'm a grateful alcoholic because my life has changed in every aspect. I was born and raised in a small town called Rawdon. I'm the fourth of five children, three brothers, two sisters. My father, I remember as growing up, my father was drunk on a daily basis. I don't think I ever saw him sober. My mother was of a depressive nature and was in a world of her own, more or less in a world of her own. So, and then I had a brother. I had a brother that died at the age of 37 due to alcoholism. He was in AA for about a little over a year. I found that he took his 1 year cake, but he didn't make it. He went back out and eventually died. And as you can see, I was well predisposed to have the isms, and indeed I did. I swore to myself that I would never drink because I didn't want to be like my father or my brother. And that lasted till I was about 23 years of age. And, excuse me. I also had a lot of fears in my life. I had a lot of grave insecurities, which led me to make a lot of mistakes. I got married at the ripe old age of 18. Due to my insecurities and self-low esteem, and because at the time I believed that if I didn't get married then, that no man would ever want or love me again for the rest of my life. I really believed that. That's how self-esteem was so low. My marriage was a disappointment and a failure from day one. I'm not going to go into details, but we had a lot of problems. Even though we stayed together for 25 years, I can tell you that it was not a happy period in my life. I stayed married all those years because we had two children. And after 5 years of marriage, I discovered alcohol, which made me escape reality. I started by having a couple of drinks of wine at supper time. This went on for a while, quite a few years. If I would go out in public, a wedding, or a function, anything, I always stayed for 2-3 drinks. I was too scared to go over that. I considered myself a social drinker. And I was fine with that for a few years, because I certainly didn't want to become like my father and my brother. No way. I was not going to be a drunk, a low life. I used to think of it. And so one night I had a plan. Part of being so lonely all the time, because my husband at the time was never home at night, never. I was always alone. So I had a plan. I put the girls to bed, make sure they were safe, and I planned to drink a liter of wine that night, a bottle of wine, and to see what all this fuss was about this drinking or getting drunk, you know, what was all this fuss about, you know. So I did that, and that's the time that I crossed the fine line from social drinking to alcoholic drinking. So alcohol was never the same for me again. I looked forward. I wanted it. I needed it. I looked forward to drinking this manner every day. I turned it into a routine, and I drank this way on a daily basis. I would start about 4 o'clock in the afternoon every day because I had to get over the hangover and everything all morning, go through, and in the big book, I'm known as the housewife drinker. I would hide my bottles everywhere. I put them in the garbage properly. My husband made wine at the time, being Italian background. He made wine, and he started seeing that the wine was disappearing a little too much, so I had to go out and buy my own stuff to mix it, this and that, and blame it on the company, see how much he drank last night, see how much she drank, you know, things like that. So alcohol became my best friend and my cure-all, and this went on for about 12 years. I managed to stop drinking a few times on my own, which led to fear, depression, despair, emptiness. The day that my brother died was the day that I finally admitted that I was just like him, that I was an alcoholic. I admitted to myself. But that didn't stop me yet. I drank for the next 6 months. But every time I drank, no, 6 months, I blacked out. I kept trying to say, I won't black out this time. I won't. I was drinking only twice a week, Wednesdays and Saturdays, hoping not to black out. I would remember just putting the second glass to my mouth, and I'd wake up in bed the next morning. I was in fear. My husband at the time, the next morning, would say, do you remember what you did last night? I'd say, yeah. Well, good, as long as you remember. As long as you remember. And I would break my head. What did I do? What did I do? You know, I'd break my head all day. My God, I made a fool of myself. But I couldn't stop. I couldn't drink, and I couldn't stop. Didn't know how. I've opened up to my doctor in the past, and he's always suggested AA to me. I was appalled, I would always be appalled, and I would dismiss the whole idea that he had the nerve to compare me to drunks or those members in AA. I'm not like them. Not like you guys. At the time, I didn't believe I was an alcoholic, and I was extremely insulted. But this time, though, I went to my doctor with my tail between my legs. I was completely defeated. And this time he didn't suggest AA to me. No, he ordered me to go. Because this is enough. He stood up, big man. This time he says, I'm not going to suggest it. He says, you're going to go. Okay. You know, I was ready to do anything possible because I couldn't continue this way. So he said, this time he says, it's a prescription. Go for me. Just to see what it sees you like. If you don't, if you don't like it, then stop going. If you like it or something comes, you know, you feel something for it, you go again, but you go for yourself the next time. So I went that first time, and my very first meeting was Rosemont Maisonneuve, Sunday night. It was an anniversary that night. And I have no idea where I am anyway. And that's where I met. I was very lucky. I met two very nice people, John Mack and Lorraine. Lorraine later became my sponsor, and John Mack took me under his wing, and he was my sponsor as well. And right away that Sunday night, I told them that I came to this meeting, but I'm not allowed. I said I have to find a Wednesday night meeting because I was only allowed to go once a week. Husband wouldn't allow any other night either. Because I used to be I was always controlled, and I wasn't allowed my opinion or my, I obeyed orders, you know. So she said, perfect. She said, me and John Mack opened up a new meeting Wednesday night, Steps of Sobriety, a few months before that. And it's great. So I went there, and I got a little active, you know, not completely. And I was very uncomfortable for the first 5 years. I was in for 5 years. Not that. I go once a week. I was very uncomfortable with the word God in AA. I couldn't get spiritual at all. So that's because I was I was Catholic, and in a small town, had teachers of nuns, the principal of nuns, and they told us all, if you don't go to church Sunday night, you won't wake up the next day. And I was it. And I believed that. So I had to go, and it was not interesting for me. It was in French and Latin. I couldn't wait to get the heck out of there. But at least I would wake up the next morning. No, I wouldn't die. So I was brought up with the fear of God, and that stayed with me all the time. You know, so I would take God in a group of drunks or good orderly direction. The group was my good orderly direction, and I didn't go further than that. I couldn't. Eventually, my marriage broke down. I regrettably met somebody in A to whom I got married again. This was like jumping out of the frying pan into the fire. After 2 months, his real character emerged. A monster was born. A psychopath. He never had his program together. I thought he did. Being an A, I figured, you know. He drank and drugs, heavy drugs, in the years to follow. And then he decided that we don't need AA anymore. So I was submissive, and I started to fear him, and I didn't have a mind of my own, and I didn't make my own decisions and all that, and so we didn't go, and I missed it. I wanted to go. He tried to sabotage my sobriety to the best of his ability all the time. He brought booze and drugs into the house. He bought booze for me that I haven't tried before. And I said, what is this? He said, well, I said, you said you've never tried the California this or the whatever. I said, yeah, I said I never tried it. It doesn't mean I'm going to try it. It doesn't mean I'm going to drink. I think the only thing, now this went on, all this with him went on for 11 years. I stayed 11 years. I suffered tremendous abuse, mental, verbal, and physical abuse. No meetings, no friends, no family, phone wouldn't ring, completely alone. No. And I thought maybe things, you know, I'd left him a few times, but all went back. I thought that maybe things would change, and but this man had complete control over me and had me believe that that I could never make it on my own. I was part-time. I worked part-time only, and I couldn't make it on my own. I believe I couldn't make it in the world outside, that terrible world outside, alone. So I was very codependent. About a month before I left him, I prayed to God, give me the strength and the courage to do what I knew had to be done. It was in my mind for a couple of years. How am I going to do this? I had to leave in order to keep my sanity, because I felt myself going. I felt my mind going. I felt I was losing it. And I was working full time at this time. Full time. I was crying at work, and people were annoying about it. My boss, and I couldn't. So wimps, you know, and my job suffered, and I had a couple of burnouts, I missed too much, and my job was on the line, but they tried to help me. They still did. I had my 2-year medallion, which helped me a lot, because I had engraved on it, sobriety above all, and before I had that, I would hang on to it and say, you know, for 11 years, that's what kept me sober. Dry, but a dry, miserable life, but I still didn't drink. You know, I had the fear of drinking, all those blackouts, and I said, he's not going to get me to drink, but then he'll really have to. You know, and that's the slogan that kept me dry for 11 years. And that slogan is very important to me. Because I remember before I took my 2-year cake, John Mathis had been having it engraved, and he asked me, what would you like written on it? He says, pick a slogan, one day at a time, easy does it, you know. I said, no, it's going to be something else, but I don't know what. I don't know. So I'll let you know. I had a couple of days to go. And the second night, I woke up at 3 in the morning, and pop came to me. You know, the body of all. I don't know where it came from. It didn't come from me. I ran down the kitchen. I wrote it down. You know, I wouldn't forget it. And that's what I had put on my clothing. And there was a reason for that. There was definitely a reason for that. That's how I stayed miserably dry for all those years. Anyways, I left him for the last time, and I went to a shelter for abused women. I was there for 2.5 months. The relief, even the first night getting there, and the way I felt safe was incredible. It was wonderful. And I kept my job through all this by the grace of God, because they wouldn't give me any more time off. They would help me, but they wouldn't give me any more time off. I went to a few meetings by myself, and my life slowly started improving. I found freedom. I felt that I had emerged from the gates of hell. That's how I felt. It was wonderful. I was scared at the same time. A new life, new world, but freedom. I smelled the grass. I could breathe. I didn't have to go home in the fear of another episode. You know, I couldn't take it. I saw I was hitting like 60, 51. You know, thinking, I can't retire. I can't. I'm going to go crazy. I miss AA. I have no life. I have nothing left. Well, since I left him there for the shelter, it was exactly 3 years ago tonight that I left. It's celebration every year. Oh, it was wonderful. You know, my life hasn't been, it hasn't been the same since. Then something beautiful happened, because beautiful things do happen when you sober up, and the promises, they do come true. I met Oswald, my boyfriend, at work, and I didn't know he was an AA, and he didn't know that I was an AA either. We started going out, and we did a lot of meetings. Oswald's been a tremendous help to me, because he works the program, and it's rubbed off on me. We do a lot of meetings together, and if I made a list of the things that I would want in my life, I would have shortchanged myself. I would have never believed that this way of life could be so good, so good. I'm not in charge anymore, because I think that God knows what's better for me than I do. If you're new, stick around. If you go out, come back. Always try and come back, because you're always welcome here. This is the place to be. We're all alike. We're all the same. But this time around, I found spirituality. Go back a bit. My first spiritual awakening was when I knew I had to leave him 3 years ago, and when I realized I was losing it, I started to pray. I finally prayed for the first time in my life to help do what I had to do to courage everything because I couldn't go on, and that was my breaking point. That was my, you know, and I overcame that. And speaking tonight, well, gee, I don't know. I guess maybe I've come overcame that too. I hope. I prayed to God today while I was working to help me get through this. And I don't know what else to say, but thank you for bearing with me. Thank you for letting me speak. And thank you.
Thank you so much.